Welcome to True Blue, the Chicago Cubs post-game show. We did it. The Chicago Cubs win game one against the Washington Nationals out in D.C. And the NLDS is a big win, 3-0. Big win for Kyle Hendricks and the boys in blue. The Chicago Cubs with the win. We're with you for a while here. 312-981-7200. Joining me, Andy Mazur. Andy, good to see you. A big game.
Yeah.
What's the storyline that'll be playing out in the papers tomorrow?
Well, I think number one will be Kyle Hendricks. And I think the number two will be just some clutch hitting by Anthony DeRizzo. We saw how he got off to a little slow start last year during the postseason. But this year, a huge two-out run scoring double late in the game to pad the lead. And Hendricks made it stand up. So, hey, all's good. I mean, Carl Edwards goes in, pitches one inning. Wade Davis gets the save, and that's how you draw it up.
That's how you draw it up. Let's go out to Kevin Powell, who is out at Nationals Park. Kevin, a big win for the Chicago Cubs to steal game one in Washington. What's your thoughts in Washington?
Yeah, that was just about as perfect of a game one as you could possibly draw up, as you guys just said, for the Cubs. That was ideal. Kyle Hendricks gets it on Wednesday, and just like right after Madden announced him as a game one starter, he said, I fully anticipate Kyle going deep Friday night. And he was right. Hendricks gives up two hits over seven innings. He was absolutely dominant tonight. That's one of the best offenses in all of baseball, guys. I mean, there's really not a weak link. And he shut him down. He was absolutely a stud tonight. And we've seen sort of Hendricks ascend over the past few years, where Madden was a little bit hesitant to loosen the leash a little bit, and he kind of had the early hook. Talk to Mark Carmen later. I'm sure he'll tell you all about it in Game 7 of the World Series. Kyle Hendricks getting an early hook. He's still bitter about it. Madden clearly had faith in Hendricks. Let him ride tonight, and it all paid off. He was dominant, and just as you guys said, that was about as perfect of a game one as you could have imagined for the Cubs. And, man, what a demoralizing loss for the Nationals, right? I mean, they've won the NL East for the past 6 years, and they haven't won a single playoff series. Game one at home, Strasburg delivers with an outstanding performance, and they still can't win. So this is not a good start for the Nationals. Huge win for the Cubs, stealing game one. That was an all-around great game for the Cubs. They really didn't do anything wrong tonight.
And, you know, if you watch the national broadcast, like I think everybody did, Ron Darling, obviously a pitcher, was really complimentary of Strasburg, and rightfully so, but failing to point out that it wasn't like the Nationals were beating around Kyle Hendricks a lot, and the first team the first guy that blinked was going to be the loser, and Strasburg was the first one to blink.
Yeah, and you know it wasn't even so. I think both those runs he gave up were unearned, because it was Rendon's error that gave the Cubs a window. And to the Cubs' credit, they couldn't really get anything going. But as we've seen over the past few years, the more times this lineup sees a starting pitcher, the third, the fourth time around, they're so dangerous. The Cubs hitters are just so good. The more they see a pitcher, the better they get, and the more dangerous they get. And Rendon let them just a little crack, a little window, and they took advantage of it. Chris Bryant with a great at bat, and you talked about Rizzo's bat in the eighth. And I know many have talked about Dusty Baker not just walking Rizzo in that situation with an open base at first and a couple outs. I don't know really what the thought process is there. Maybe we'll find out in postgame. But, this is what the Cubs do, man. This is, you know, for such a long time, it seemed like an uphill battle for the Cubs. And now it just seems like they stay calm, cool, collected, and, you know, especially after winning last year, like they talked about it this week, that winning last year, all the pressure's on the Nationals right now. Everything right now for the Cubs is essentially gravy, you know? I mean, obviously we all expect them to win this thing, but you can just tell that they've been tested and they know how to weather the storm. And they, all game long, did they not just look cool, comfortable, collected, all those cliches out there? They just looked like they knew what they were doing, and they never really looked like they were panicking at any moment, even when Strasburg was dominating on the mound.
Kevin, do you think that Dusty was going to actually pinch hit for Hendricks when he had John Jay in the on-deck circle? I'd like to see if there was maybe a bluff going on right there, because if I was the Nationals, I would have wanted to get Hendricks out of the game there. I would have intentionally walked by as just to make them make the move, and so then you're into the Cubs bullpen in the seventh, and I wonder if there's a little cat and mouse game going on there. I thought that was a mistake by Dusty.
That's a good call by you, Carm. I think that was another moment where Dusty was criticized tonight. I think Joe Maddon outmanaged Dusty tonight. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, Joe Maddon didn't really, everything he did made sense. I had a couple questionable moves from Dusty. No question about that.
That's Kevin,
a good point by you, Kyle.
Let's do this. I know you got to go because the post-game stuff, and we'll grab as much as we can, and we'll check in with you in a little bit. So go do that, and we'll check in with you once those get going and we get some more answers, especially from the managers. Kevin Powell, talk to you soon. In D.C. right now, Mark Harmon joins us.
I am so happy to see both of you. I can't believe how incredible this thing just started. What a performance. I mean, Kyle Hendricks, I'm sure that I was watching over in Old Town. I didn't expect this thing to come as quick as it came. I'm still in amazement that they just, I mean, what a performance.
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, MVP of this game, I mean, Anthony Rizzo, of course, at the plate, but Kyle Hendricks, really exceeds expectations. This is not what you thought you'd get from Kyle Hendricks in game one against the Nationals.
It's a new level, right, Andy?
Well, I think the faith that they showed in him last year goes a long way. And he wasn't right during the year. The tendonitis prevented him from the changeup. That's his pitch. That is his pitch. And I tweeted this out earlier. I was having a conversation with Josh Friedman over at WGN TV on Twitter. And I was always told, and Greg Maddux used to tell me this all the time in the dugout, whenever things got crazy and hectic, everybody's natural tendency is to try to throw the ball harder. He says when you throw the ball harder, it straightens out. It's easier to hit when you try to overthrow the ball. Kyle Hendricks can't overthrow the ball. and pitches like a guy that has been there for a long time. His demeanor never, ever, ever changes. And he went to what he was supposed to go to. And that's his off-speed stuff. That's his changeup, mixing in that 86, 87-mile-an-hour fastball. And he was... That's why I was so upset that they were talking all the stuff about Strasburg, because he lights up the radar gun and he had 10 strikeouts. Did he win the game? No, I don't think he did.
Well, Hendrick was the better pitcher tonight. And I thought when he walked, who was hitting in front of Murphy? Rendon?
Rendon was in front of Murphy.
Yeah, so when he walked Rendon, and here's Murphy coming up in a two-run game, and this guy's killed us, and he's killed Kyle Hendricks, and he went right at him and got him striking out on a pitch out of the zone. I'm like, dude, you are a confident stud of a game one starter, and I don't care if the radar gun's reading 88. This is incredible.
Who cares?
He's a stud, flat-out stud.
Follow me on this one, because it might sound a little strange, but to me, the biggest at bat in this game was Javi Baez striking out in the seventh inning.
In what?
Because he was a number eight hitter. John Jay did not get a chance to pinch hit, and Kyle Hendricks went back out for the seventh.
That was exactly my point. I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, if I were you, Dusty, you want to get him out of the game.
Yeah, that was the biggest at bat of the game.
I mean, the Cubs have Strope, and they've got C.J. Edwards. Those are your right-handers in the pen.
They have Dunsing warming up.
And so even if they pitch well, you still want both of those guys to get used.
Right.
And you got him out of the game. I thought that Dusty blew it right there. And I don't know. I don't think that Maddon would have allowed Hendricks to hit, but it would have been interesting to see what he would have done. Yeah. I would have definitely made Joe Maddon make a decision there.
More conversation here on True Blue. Mark Carman, Andy Mazur in studio. Kevin Powell out in D.C. 312-981-7200 if you want to get in the action. Take a quick break and come back. Cubs win. Stay with us.
I bleed Cubby blue. That's just what Cub fans do. I bleed Cubby blue. It's those within me. I bleed Cubby blue. No other blood.
Cubs with the big win. True Blue here on 720 WGN. The post game is the Cubs beat the Nationals in game one of the NLDS 3-0. Big win. 312-981-7200. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with you. Mark Carman, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports. Kevin Powell also out at Nationals Park. Let's continue the conversation about Kyle Hendricks. As Kevin Powell mentioned, the idea that, there's a little second guessing on the idea of Kyle Hendricks being your number one starter, game one starter. He deserved it. Of course, he had a great second half. But, they've got John Lester, they got Jake Arrieta, the other people, of course, with the injury. Kyle Hendricks proved tonight that he deserved this spot.
I hate to toot my own horn here. Actually, I love to. But I think we said it last week when I was on with you, Justin, that it just made sense that here's a guy who's been there, done that. He's the most healthy. He's been their best pitcher. And you know he can come back if there's a game five. So I just thought it was pretty logical that he was going to start. And then you're not going to back him up with Quintana because he's never been there. So it just made sense they'd go to Lester. And then coming back home, I'd figure you give Arrieta as much time as possible to get healthy. and you know, blind squirrel finds another. I got that one. That's one that just made sense, and that fell right for me. But
it was tremendous. It was great effort.
Mazur dogged me on Twitter. I put it out there.
I said, "Is there anyone smarter than you?"
Yes, and then I said, "You'll be learning a lot this postseason." But Madden alluded to Hendricks about a week before the season ended, unprompted. Well, what about this Kyle Hendricks guy? And it's like, well, and so he kind of tipped his hat that, hey, this is who we're going to go with.
I look at it this way. You know, we talk about the Nationals hard-hitting and good-hitting lineup. I got to be honest with you. When you're a hard-hitting team like that and you hit fastballs, you're not ready for Kyle Hendricks because there's nothing straight, first of all, nothing over 90 miles an hour. And it just disrupts timing completely.
Look at these stats. I mean, because Kyle Hendricks threw a two-hitter tonight in his seven innings strong. He walked three guys. But listen to this. Trey Turner, 0 for 4. Bryce Harper, 1 for 4. Rendon, 0 for 3. Murphy, 0 for 3. Zimmerman, 0 for 4. Worth, 0 for 3. This is supposed to be the best offensive lineup in the National League. To see all of those offers, I mean, Bryce Harper, one of the only two hits, it's pretty impressive. And one thing I wanted to point out is that he had a kind of a bumpy ride in the first inning.
He did.
He got through the first nine hitters. He had a bumpy ride. But surprising to me, he actually got stronger as the game went on.
It's totally, you know, they went through the lineup in two innings. We weren't remotely touching Steven Strasburg. Mm-hmm. And so you were wondering second time through, uh-oh, is this going to be trouble? But he settled in. And to your point, Justin, as far as like, and Andy too, is the mental focus and just the way he goes about his business. There were a lot of pitches tonight that he didn't get. And
a
lot of pitchers would freak out. He just, nothing changes with the guy. He's just as the same guy if things are going well, if they're not going well. It's the opposite of John Lackey, and that's two ways to go about
Well, you know, it's funny to
business.
Say that because it was a very inconsistent play tonight.
It was.
And I mean, Strasburg, he got 10 strikeouts. What do we got here? We got Joe Maddon coming to the let's bring in manager.
The last several
Joe
days,
Maddon
how well he's been throwing the baseball, pitching. You saw the velocity on the board. I mean, for him to maintain those numbers for the entire game is really impressive. And with that, that's why the changeup becomes an even better pitch at that point. So, yeah, we took advantage of a mistake. Their third baseman's outstanding. We got lucky right there. But then again, the two-strike knocks. KB and Riz both had difficult their first four at-bats combined. And then after that, they come up with two big hits. Pretty spectacular.
So you said you got lucky there.
Yep.
Having gone through this last year, do you need a certain amount of luck?
Of course you do. Of course you do. You have to be able to cap it. Because neither team, we made some plays. I mean, how about Javi's catch on that pop-up? I mean, you have to make plays. You can't give extra outs. And, you know, fortunately we did not do that tonight. You have to capitalize on mistakes if they're forthcoming, especially in a game like that. Now, there's some games like 9-8 tonight and all those other high-scoring games, maybe a little bit different. When pitchers are at the top of their game, you have to score on outs. You have to, you know, make your own music somehow because it's very difficult. From the side, both those pitches were unbelievable tonight. Strasburg with that changeup now. I know he's had it, but, I mean, I've not seen a lot of this guy, but that is such a weapon to go with the other things that he does. And then Kyle, like I'm saying, with added velocity, and you saw called strikes, taken strikes that the hitters knew were strikes because he was so effective locating velocity, his velocity. So, yeah, you have to take advantage of mistakes under these circumstances.
You mentioned before the game, you know, hopefully you get a lead and then you can make your defensive changes. In that sense, did this game go according to plan?
The team we had on the field in the ninth inning right there, I couldn't be happier with that defensive alignment. That was about as good as it gets for us. I mean, if we could finish every game like that, having a lead with that alignment, I'll take it. But then again, you have to be like right there, I'm thinking, for instance, taking John Jay out. If they were to happen to tie it, that's Doolittle anyway. So then here comes Almora is going to hit, and then we'll have to do something in the next spot. So it was perfectly put for us in regard to that and the ability to finish the way we did, Martin in left, Almora and Jason, and then the infield. That's a warm fuzzy from the dugout, man.
Go ahead, Mark.
Joe, you talked yesterday about experience and knowing. When Strasburg's pitching that way, does that experience come into play in terms of your hitters not starting to chase and sort of try to do more than what they do?
Yeah, I think some of our guys had really good at-bats. I mean, I thought Addison had great at-bats all night. I thought Jason Hayward had really good at-bats all night. It was actually the bottom of the batting order there. I mean, Schwarber first at-bat really good. I think the knowing is that just keep going, boys. Just keep going. Look for that little thing to occur that you could jump in there. But then your pitcher has to be, you know, in line with what their guy. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. And so their guy was that good. So was our guy. And then eventually you just look for the opening. So great baseball game. Obviously a great way for us to start here. The fans for them were totally into it from Jump Street. It was really an energized situation tonight.
Joe, the crowd and
yes, sir.
Everything that was going on, you know, you guys had to just hang in there. And when Chris Bryant gets that base hit, did that gave the team an extra boost? And how did that make you? It must have made you feel really good.
Yeah, it did give us an extra boost. And it always makes me feel good when KB drives in a run. The thing right there, you knew that it was going to be a low-scoring game. Kyle being able to go as deeply into the game as he did really permitted us to do. We wanted to do it the latter part of the game. I liked CJ at that part of their batting order. And, of course, here comes Wade. So any time you could get that kind of a start, especially in the postseason, seven innings strong, oh my gosh, that makes everything different. Now, tomorrow we had guys warming up. Dunsing was up a couple times. Stropey was up a couple times. But that's just the nature of the beast in such a close game. Now you can't take anything for granted. You have to be ready for the next moment if it occurs. And the fortunate part is after tomorrow's game, there is a day off. David.
So you've seen Kyle as best a lot of times. How does this performance compare?
So I've been talking about, see, like last year he was, you know, obviously in the Cy Young discussion. This is as good as I've seen him. The last two or three starts. Why? Because the velocity's ticking up. He's actually hitting a lot of, I don't know how accurate their gun is. I don't know if it's a little bit hot or not. Sometimes I wonder. But if the gun was accurate, he hit as high as 91. He didn't pitch at 91. He probably pitched at 88, 87, which is good. And then he touches 89, 90, 91. But as a hitter, when he's able to do that with that movement, and then you have to honor that plus that, the changeup, it makes him even more effective. You can see his delivery, how well he repeated it, pitch after pitch after pitch. He's such a technician mechanically, and you know when he's, you could tell, I mean, immediately when he's on top of that, meaning his mechanics, and I talk to him during the course of games often about whether he's on or off. And when he's on, I don't say anything, obviously. So you can see it from the side when everything's coming together, and he really gathered momentum, I think, about the fourth inning. He started feeling really good about himself.
Okay. Joe, in the back.
Yes.
Winning game, how much is that perspective for you about grabbing home field advantage?
Well, you know, the thing about the playoffs, to me, it's I think it's overblown. Honestly, the home field advantage, like last year, for instance, we did okay in Cleveland. It's this time of the year you're playing a lot of really good professional baseball players. Now, obviously, the fans, a loud ballpark, which that was tonight, and we have a loud ballpark at home, too. But Cleveland took advantage of us last year at Wrigley. So I honestly believe this time of the year really comes down to the pitching component of it, regardless of where you're playing. So their crowd was great tonight. We pitched a little bit better than they did. I really lost this thing about the home field advantage in baseball in the playoffs. I don't know that it's really outstanding or not.
Joe, in terms of facing Gio tomorrow, what's
yes, sir.
The biggest problem that he presents for you guys?
Well, you know, he's had a really good season, and he's very tough on lefties. He's extremely tough. We've had a couple guys with not very good numbers against him. So with Gio, a big thing about him for me historically is you really got to make him, you got to make him throw the ball over the plate. He's really into getting you to chase a little bit. So if we could really command our strike zones, that'd be the probably the biggest thing we can do. He's very competitive, good guy. I've had conversation with him in the past. Very good, coming off. He's on a good season right now. I think from our perspective is to make him come into the zone. If we're chasing, he's going to have a real good night.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Right, there we go. Joe Madden at the podium tonight, taking questions from the media. A tremendous game for the Chicago Cubs and, of course, Madden. Anthony Rizzo is getting up on the podium next, but I think what we'll do right here is we'll take a break. True Blue, it's post-game for the Chicago Cubs, who won tonight, beating the Washington Nationals 3-0 game one. Of course, game two tomorrow, Gio Gonzalez and John Lester, who will talk all about that coming up here. 312-981-7200. It's True Blue. Stay with us.
popped him up. Contreras calls. And that is a game one shutout by the Chicago Cubs of the Washington Nationals in this best of five.
Go, 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 Chicago Cubs. Win, win, win that game.
True blue. The Cubs with a big win. Mark Carmen, Annie Mazur in studio. I'm Justin Kaufman. 312-981-7200. A little post game here for a game one winner. We'll take it, right?
Absolutely.
Ten.
10 to go.
Yep, drum roll, please.
We just heard Joe Maddon up on the stage there talking a couple of key points. One about Kyle Hendricks. He's really liking Kyle Hendricks right now. I mean, you mentioned it before, just that he was even talking about it before the season ends, but it seems like this is his guy.
I mean, he said what, that the last two or three starts, he's never seen him better. That was one thing he said. And then he mentioned his velocity at least twice, maybe three, four times. So, and he questioned whether the radar gun was correct in D.C. because he's seeing 91. But the point is that he's able to hit 88 consistently, and then he can tick it up, 89, 90 when he wants it. And that makes him all the more difficult. So this is huge because, you know, you look at the rest of the rotation. I mean, who are you relying on right now? You need Kyle Hendricks to be Kyle Hendricks.
And it was interesting because when the series started and we first found out that Hendricks was going to be the number one guy, at least for the series, the negativity of my brain kicked in and said, you know what, if they can steal game one with Hendricks, okay, you've set yourself up now because Lester has had some decent outings since he's been back from the disabled list.
And he's a veteran.
Plus he's a veteran guy that's been in these situations before. Then you're heading home. So now the worst you do is go home. You're 1-1. I mean, you got a chance to wrap it up on your home field.
Now, another thing that Maddon talked about, he kind of downplayed the idea of home field. I mean, he mentioned last year, we saw that in the World Series, that the Indians came in and beat the Cubs at Wrigley Field. He obviously knows, but I mean, is there merit to what he's saying? I mean, do the Cubs not have an advantage at Wrigley Field?
I mean, you'd always rather be at home, right? But I mean, last year you lost 3-4 at home. You miraculously got through game five, killed them in game six, and then, you know, game seven, greatest game of all time. And then let's think about in the Giants series, you won it out in San Francisco in game four. And then in the Dodgers series, Kyle Hendricks again. What are they? And they won it out there.
Yeah. They won games. Well, they won it on the home field.
They won on the home field.
But
right.
They won games out there when they needed to.
How could I forget that?
It's all
I was
good.
Walking around Wrigley Field with my phone on Facebook, having the time of my life. Where'd they win it? It's all a blur, man.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's like the new Cubs. Yeah, this is so crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, too, at this time of year, every team is good. I mean, you're not here unless you're a team that can win.
Especially in this playoff. Yeah.
And you're not a team that's alive if you haven't had a winning record on the road, or at least close to .500 on the road. So nobody's really fazed by that at this point. Well, and it doesn't surprise me that sometimes your teams play better on the road, especially in playoff situations, because you're not around the hype.
Less
all
distractions.
The time. You're on the road. You're away. You're together. You've got the goal. You know what you're doing.
I mean, we were talking about Rich Cohen was in here this week, and we were talking about the pressure put on these young kids at Wrigley Field last year in the playoffs, where people were coming to the game with urns of ashes of their grandfathers. Like, you know,
it's true.
There's a curse, and we need you to do this. But when they actually had a more unified team when they're on the road. And frankly, I mean, we just saw the Cubs go on the road with four games in Milwaukee and four games in St. Louis.
Yep.
And they were tight and they were efficient. They were the Cubs team that we expected this year. So they do play well in the other team's ballpark.
Well, and that's the end of the day why when you look at the field, you've got a great Dodgers team. The Nationals are extremely good. And then you go to the American League, the Astros look incredible. Mm-hmm. The Indians are
worldly.
Right. But with the Cubs, they just have... They've got the championship. They've proven time and time again that they don't fold when it's, you know, when you think that they will. It's like it's the anti-Cub. You got to believe in these guys. It's unbelievable.
Well,
it's unbelievable. You got to believe. Does that make any sense?
Well, let me ask you this, because Carm, I know you watch the games like I do, and just, you know, obviously Justin, you're doing a show. It's hard to watch the game and do your show at the same time.
I've got two eyes.
Yeah, I know you do, but you know you're a pro, so you worry about your show.
Right.
But I remember Carm last year, and I know you have trouble remembering where they clinched the NLCS, but just the feeling in your stomach watching the game. I didn't have that burning sensation that I had all of last year, and I think part of the reason why I didn't, starting with tonight, this is not the best team in baseball, so to speak, this year. There's no possible collapse.
Well,
it's a situation too where, and I think maybe a lot of Cub fans feel this way as well. You got your championship. I'm not satisfied. I don't think a lot of people are.
Did the Cubs use that to their advantage, the fact that there's so much hype around the Dodgers and the Indians and the Astros that this year they can come in and just play?
You just do your thing. You just play your game. And I didn't see one guy out there. And remember all the struggles Rizzo had early in the playoffs last year.
That's true.
And the same thing with Addison Russell, who had mountains of problems during the early parts of the series in last year. You know, Javi Baez, okay, yeah, he swung at some pitches again tonight that, you know, you'd like to see him not.
Right.
But, again, the guy makes great plays in the field. So they have been here, and they have done that, and they have accomplished what they, you know, want to accomplish again. But I don't know, Carver, did you have that feeling still watching the game tonight?
I mean, I was, you know, when the game started and the Cubs went 1-2-3 in the first, I was on, you know, minor panic mode. Of course, I, you know, thought about hiding under the table for just a brief second there.
Which he did a lot of last year up
right.
in Studio A.
But, you know, and to be, when you have success in life, when you do things a bunch of times and then you actually start having success at it, you're going to gain confidence. Mm-hmm. I can do this. I've been there before. No big deal. Seventh inning, game on the line. Been a zillion times. Ground ball coming down the third base line. Oh, by the way, I picked up that ground ball in game 7 last year and fired across the diamond to win the World Series. No problem tonight. I'm going to have a ridiculous bare hand, Chris Bryant. In a 2-run game, I mean, these guys just believe in themselves, and they're extremely talented.
Let's go to Kyle Hendricks, who's up on the stage right now at Nationals Park, listening to what's got to say.
How do you explain the added velocity that both Joe and Anthony talked about?
I think probably a little adrenaline-based, but my last 5-6 starts, it's been creeping up kind of every start. My mechanics have really been clicking, so my timing's there, where earlier in the year, my mechanics were just off, so I wasn't able to let it go. So now that my mechanics are there, it feels good, I can just let it ride, and I think that's probably where it's coming from.
Kyle, your defense played well today. Bryant, all your guys made great plays, bare-handed plays. Talk about that. Comment on that.
That's what we do, man, and it works well for me. I love those guys back there. That play by KB was huge, especially the leadoff guy, Worth. We needed that one, but that's what they do all year long. You know, they put in the work, and it shows come game time. So I rely on that as a pitcher, pitching to contact. So I appreciate all that.
Kyle, Joe said this is the best he's seen you pitch. Do you agree? Do you think this is the best you've ever been?
Maybe not best ever, but it was up there. It was a pretty good one. I think early in the game, I was a little up. There were a few balls on the barrel. So after about the third inning, I really started dialing it in. And from there, I would say I was pretty good. My fastball command got really good. Changeup worked off it. But it helps a lot. Willie and I were on such a good page, so it keeps the flow of the game for me going. So that's a big part for me.
Good.
Kyle, lineup's been pretty potent all year long. How does your style of pitching, especially with the changeup, help keep them off balance?
Yeah, you know, it's just going in with a good game plan. We got a lot of guys that do a lot of research behind the scenes here, so it's having good information and then going in and just mixing in and out with my fastball and changing speeds back and forth. You know, that's pitching. That's kind of what I have to rely on without plus stuff. But when I start hitting spots, that's really when it starts to take off for me. My changeup can work off that. But, yeah, I didn't throw many curveballs tonight, so really it was relying on the fastball changeup. Mm-hmm.
How much did seeing them guessing as much as they seem to be reinforce your scouting report and build your confidence as the game progressed?
Yeah, definitely. I think your confidence builds when you start seeing those swings. You know, early in the game, like I said, there were some balls on the barrel, so I knew I wasn't where I needed to be. You know, got to get the ball down, kind of refocus. But after that, I start getting the bad contact, kind of the bad takes, you know, then you know you're in the flow of the game. So from there, just keep feeling what they're trying to do to you, really. Keep mixing pitches. That's where Willie comes in. He really feels the hitters really well, too. So we work well together, and you kind of just flow from there.
All right. Here you go. Kyle Hendricks on the mound, the professor with the awesome game tonight, and he talks about pitching. That's pitching.
Can we just for a second recall that we traded a worthless, very entertaining, but worthless Ryan Dempster and scouted this guy, Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer and company did, and said, you know what? you don't throw super hard, but we're going to bet on your makeup. And by the way, we're dealing a bag of balls, and we're going to get you for that. And this dude's going to pitch in Game 7 of the World Series. Should have won the game.
Mm-hmm. No. Thank you, Sam Holbrook.
There you go.
And, yeah. Okay, that's just really
Mark Garman, Andy Mazur in studio. True Blue, post-game, Cubs win. They could take a 1-0 lead over the Washington Nationals. We'll continue our conversation and include you if you'd like to contribute. I got some texts as well. We'll get to 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
Left field, that ball will get down and not get a run. It rattles around in the corner, and Rizzo standing at second in a 3-0 game.
Baseball season's underway. Better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say?
Well, the Cubs won tonight. They beat the Washington Nationals in Game 1 of the NLDS. It's True Blues, 720 WGN's postgame. Andy Mazur, Mark Harmon here, Kevin Powell out. Nationals Park, we'll get to him. He's actually in the press room talking or listening to all the players, asking questions. All right, we got to talk about that. I mean, even what we just heard, Pete just queued up the highlights. Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, all three runs. Anthony Rizzo to start tonight on the offensive side. I mean, these guys just continue to be the face of the Cubs and the guys you go to in the playoffs.
It is a flat-out shame that I don't have a Brizzo t-shirt. That is just that is not the way to live your life. The big hit in the sixth to get him on the board, and I'm sitting there going to right field because he was there. First of all, they have the shift on him, and it just seemed like there's just no way you're going to pull this guy. And then he goes and he does it, and the bang-bang playing at second, and then Rizzo comes through. These guys, they're that 2-3 is it's just sweet. They're young and they're incredible and they want to win.
And they feed off each other, obviously.
Totally.
I think one wants to do what the other does and vice versa. And they're both not only offensive players, but they're tremendous defensive players. As you know, Mark mentioned earlier, the play that was made over at third base, the very end.
Yeah. All right, before we go, let's go. You know who's on the podium right now is Dusty Baker.
Dude, high fastballs. He was all quadrants tonight. And you know, he can pitch. And which is evident. I mean, we only got two hits, and we didn't hit the ball that hard off of him. But he threw a good game tonight. Strauss threw a great game, you know. Anthony, we've never seen him do that. And then it led to a two-out hit. And they got two-strike, two-out hits. And that was a ball game. Like I said, Strauss was outstanding. He did everything he could. But they got some clutch hits. And in the playoffs here, the team that gets the most two-out RBI hits is usually the team that wins. And that's what they did tonight. We didn't have a bunch of scoring opportunities. And they had three and got three.
All right, there you go. Dusty Baker, it's just talking about Strasburg. We wanted to hear him go, I screwed up. We didn't get that.
Sounded so old there.
Yeah, he seemed a little bit out of breath. Back to Rizzo and Bryant. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me because, you know, the other teams obviously have scouted them. They shift to different spots. We've seen both these players be pretty much pull hitters. I mean, in the way that they have, that's maybe their weakness in the way that they they got the shift and the teams can go against them. But tonight, both of them come through in the clutch too. And just as Dusty Baker said, two out, two strike hits, and that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, the one thing Bryant is so much better at this year than he was last year is going to right field. There was no chance of him getting a ball into right field or right center even last year. Maybe by fluke, but I think this year it's more of a design. He's letting the ball travel a little bit deeper into the hitting zone, and I think he's just much more confident. I mean, this guy, I mean, you put the numbers, you match the numbers that he put up last year versus this year. Last year when he won the Most Valuable Player of the Year award, they're not very far off. They're not far off at all. They're far off in the power categories a little bit. You know, home runs and RBIs are down, but that's a product of, you know, the way that he's being pitched and also with the fact that you don't have a lot of guys on base in front of you, especially the first half of the season when they weren't scoring any runs. But he's a much more accomplished player than he was even last year.
He's a run-scoring machine, partly because he's hitting in front of Rizzo.
And he's base running.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal base runner. He's a very, very good third baseman. And just going back to Dusty and Rizzo, you know, you go back to the eighth, you got two outs and Rizzo at the plate with a runner on second. Call me crazy. I'm walking Anthony Rizzo all day. Instead, they threw him 17,000 pitches. He kept on fouling them off and finally got one that he could handle and put it down the left field line. Dusty, walk him. Pitch to Contreras. That's a no-brainer to me. I don't care who's on the mound, lefty or righty. I forget. And it was a righty, too.
It was Ryan Madsen.
Yeah, it was. You had Madsen on the mound. That didn't make any sense to me either.
Yeah.
Dusty had a bad night. He really
Dusty
did
have a bad night, but we'll take it. We're okay with that. And I think there's a little part of Chicago Cub fans that are okay with that, even that it happened to Dusty Baker. Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur in studio tonight. True Blue, the Cubs postgame show tonight as the Cubs beat the Nationals 1 and go up 1-0. When we come back, we'll take a break. We'll get an update with Rob. Let's talk about what to expect for the rest of the season, and let's talk about lineups. I mean, we saw that Joe Maddon put the best players he had on the field. He had Zobrist out and right. He was able to pretty much get everybody involved in the game. Masterful performance from manager Joe Maddon tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll get an update with Rob Martier, and we'll come back. Stay with us.
Anthony, twice you were up in the sixth and the eighth with first base open. Were you surprised that you weren't walked either once or both times? Did that give you just a little extra boost?
I'll be honest. You put guys on in the playoffs, it's just, I don't know. It's different. You got to get outs, and Wilson's swinging the bat really well. He's a threat every time he comes to the plate. He hits Strasburg really well. He had a good at bat. He hit a ball hard. And the second time, you just don't know. You got to be focused. You got to be locked in. And those are the situations I want to be up in. And thankfully, I hit the ball where they weren't.
Little Anthony Rizzo right there, who's on the podium. Nationals Park. The Cubs, of course, win. Game 1, 3-0. They got a 1-0 lead in the NLDS over the Nationals. Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur. It's True Blue here on 720 WGN, the postgame. I mean, even you said it. I mean, you think it's a mistake, but Anthony Rizzo says you don't put guys on in the playoffs.
Translation, I'm absolutely stunned he didn't walk me. I don't know what Dusty Baker is doing. And Joe Maddon, my manager, would have walked me. But let's hope that they continue to do it this way. So, yeah, you don't put guys on in the playoffs. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to lie to you. That was what that was. At least the way I heard it.
Yeah, it's don't give the other team anything else to, you know, bulletin board kind
of
stuff.
Right,
you know,
right. To hear all the players up there and to know that tonight it was Rizzo and Bryant. Also, Joe Maddon talked about Schwarber's at bats, Addison Russell's at bats. You know, again, this team is stacked with a lot of young talent and a lot of positional strength. As we get ready for Game 2 tomorrow, let's play Maddon. What do we see? Because John Lester takes the hill, much different pitcher than Kyle Hendricks, which definitely changes the way that the defense lines up.
I got my lineup. I don't think that this is how Joe Madden's going to go, but this is what I would do. Yeah, lefty on the mound. I'm going Ben Zobrist and right. Jason Hayward, you get the day off. We'll see you later. You overswinging like you always do. That's fine. He's had a halfway okay year. I don't need to go into that, Mazur. We don't have to redo Jason Hayward. I got Bryant, then Rizzo, Contreras. I got Happ in left. I got Russell at short, Baez at second, and I got Almora in center. That's what I would do.
Okay. We differ by only one position, perhaps. I'm not going to do batting order. I'm just going to give you the field here. I've got Jay in left. I got Happ in center. And I've got Zobrist in right. And then the usual suspects, you know, Bryant, Russell, Baez, Rizzo, Contreras.
It'll be a big deal if they don't start Jason Hayward tomorrow. That'll be asked about, but it makes sense.
You know, it's an easy out because Gonzalez is a tough left-handed pitcher. You'll take out Schwarber, you'll take out Hayward, and I really believe that you'll save Almora just in case that there's you still have the lefty on the mound for a pinch hitting appearance later in the game. You know, then you have to hope that Dusty, they don't have a ton of lefties. I mean, they have Doolittle, and that's, you know, you hope you don't get to that because you hope you're winning the game.
Well, as a longtime lover of fantasy baseball, Gio Gonzalez can be beat.
Oh, yeah.
He beats himself a lot.
He does.
He walks a lot of guys and gives up big runs.
He can implode.
But it's surprising because I would ask the question of you guys, my only pushback on whether or not Joe Maddon's going to tinker, is this lineup produced? They got three runs, and some of them unearned, of course, on an error. But the idea that why not just stay with the guns? Why not stay with Zobrist and right and Schwarber and left and keep Hayward in center? Why not just stay with the lineup that won tonight?
Yeah, because it hasn't been that way all year. I mean, first of all, I don't think guys really – it used to be a situation where you could go play a wiffle ball game in their backyard and emulate whatever your favorite team was, and you knew who was batting first through ninth. Not the case anymore. I think managers have evolved to the point where they figure, you know, we've got to get guys four or five at-bats in a game to have them be useful as pinch hitters in the following game because, you know, you kind of get your feet wet a little bit. You get a chance to see a different variety of pitches. You're not seeing just fastballs and sliders from guys late in games. You're getting a chance to see a changeup and a curveball every once in a while, which certainly helps. And I think these guys are good enough and understand enough that they're not – I don't mean to say they're interchangeable parts – but I really feel like there's guys that are going to be able to contribute, and there's too many guys for too few spots to be able to contribute.
We got three guys, I think, that the entire playoffs you'll see. Bryant hitting second, playing third. Mm-hmm. Rizzo at first hitting third, and Contreras behind the plate hitting fourth. I would assume that's going to happen. The rest of the lineup, I think he'll be Joe Maddon. You got me a hot on Gio Gonzalez looking at his last couple of starts. Last outing, October 1 against the Pirates, 4 1/3, 7 hits, 6 runs. Before that, 5 innings against the Phillies, lost, 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned. Decent outing against the Braves. Before that,
he's up and down. He also is a pitcher who runs out of gas. He's done this a couple of years. Not the ideal second starter when you're down a game, but Max Scherzer needs a space just like Jake Arrieta. Yeah, right. They're talking about Scherzer possibly at Wrigley Field in game 3.
Yeah, and it's the playoffs. I don't need the master of the obvious here. It's a huge game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Huge game.
Must win.
But listen, you know that Scherzer's coming and you know that Strasburg's coming back. So there is, I would think, a big want to beat Gio Gonzalez. And all these guys are very good pitchers. You're going to have to earn your way. But this is their worst of their three starters, assuming that Scherzer's healthy.
Let me ask you a question about Ben Zobrist. Mm-hmm. Ben Zobrist 0-for-4 at the top spot tonight. Not a great performance, and he seemed to think that he had a scouting report on Strasburg. He'd swing at the first pitch every time.
Yeah.
But Zobrist, a guy who was once the World Series MVP with the Royals last year, clutch. I mean, he on paper, when you look at the numbers he put up this year, he's the guy that should be out of the lineup. But he won't be because he's clutch.
He's clutch, and plus, you know, I don't know if you'll see him leading off tomorrow, especially if John Jay is in the lineup. I think Jay might end up leading off in tomorrow's game. But the thing about Zobrist is he usually, and again, I think there was a scouting report on Strasburg fastball early because he swung at the first pitch in 3 at-bats. I think the final at-bat was more a product of trying to advance a runner and coming up empty and doing that. But, you know, Ben Zobrist, 9 times out of 10, will give you a professional at bat and foul off some pitches.
Right.
And
you expect
give you a chance
too,
to see some of what the other guys got.
It's hard to be critical when you're going up against Steven Strasburg, but I thought that Ben Zobrist missed a bunch of pitches today. I mean, but balls that were up in RBI situations that you're not going to get much better than that. I mean, that's where you got to come through. And he didn't tonight, but Maddon loves the professionalism of a Ben Zobrist. So, but I would be stunned if Albert Elmora is not in the lineup tomorrow. Now that
you're going to be stunned.
He has had a tremendous second half.
Okay,
I think you're going to be stunned.
I mean, he against left-handed pitching, he is a go. I mean, he's been sensational. He is an unsung, unheralded player, but doesn't play every day.
He has been.
Is he ready to be trusted in a playoff game?
I mean, he had some huge moments last year.
Yeah,
the pinch run. Tag up from first to get to second.
Incredible catch in
game 7.
The Giants.
Yeah.
I think, and he's earned it.
I think he's earned it.
He's played great.
I just don't know if it's yet where Joe Maddon's going to start him. I just don't know. I could be wrong.
Let me ask as well. I mean, obviously it's situational with Gio Gonzalez, but Gio Gonzalez gives up home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Schwarber hits home runs. Yes, he's a left-handed hitter. I understand that that's not an ideal matchup, but are you at the point where you ride the horses that got you here? He hit 30 home runs. He's had an okay second half. Kyle Schwarber, I would make an argument just based on the last two postseasons, he shouldn't be out of the game at all.
I would tell you this, and I'll tell you this is more of a defensive situation than it is an offensive situation because of Lester pitching tomorrow night, more of a fly ball contact kind of guy. that you want your best defense in the outfield. Today you had your best defense on the infield because Kyle Hendricks is more of a ground ball, keep it in the infield kind of a guy. So I think that the lineup, believe it or not, does go through that kind of a situation where you have to think
about the defense.
About the defense
who's
as well.
On the mound.
And there's not a lot of versatility when it comes to Kyle Schwarber.
And I don't think Schwarber will be out there either, Justin. But that being said, if he was out there, I mean, every time he comes to the plate, I'm excited.
Oh, me too.
Let's go. It's
I mean, the reason that we're okay with him hitting 120 or whatever he hit in the first half
bombs.
Is because, yeah, you know that he's going to be a guy who, come playoff time, is going to be having memories. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he did in his rookie season was tremendous.
Yep. And despite the difficult season for him, too, he did a
ended up with 30 home runs.
He ended up with 30, and I thought that he handled not being good very well.
I will say there's not a lot of guys in Major League Baseball who get sent down to the minors and still hit 30 home runs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's all I'm saying. I know he had a terrible year. I watched. He had a slump year, but 30 home runs. Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur in studio. We'll take our last break with True Blue. The post game here. The Cubs beat the Nationals. Take game one. They got a 1-0 lead here in the NLDS. We'll take a quick break. Stay with us.
Into right center field. That ball's going to get down, and that is going to break the scoreless tie. Baez scores. The throw to second. Bryant is safe, and the Cubs are on top. 1-0.
Go, Cubs, go, Cubs, go. Let's sing it together.
True Blue, the Chicago Cubs postgame. We are celebrating a game one victory. The Chicago Cubs beat the Washington Nationals 3-0 to take game one in Washington. Kevin Powell's out there. We'll have him on the line in just a second as they are going through the motions of all the press conferences and everything after the game. In studio here in Chicago in the Allstate Showcase Studio live tonight, Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur, I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, so let's talk about game two, John Lester. John Lester, last year's, Cy Young, really a guy who has been there. He's won World Series with the Red Sox, now with the Cubs. He has been the rock, the anchor for this team. Tough year for him. He has not been the John Lester that we've known. What do we expect from him coming into game two?
This is why you went out and spent all the money on John Lester. Forget about the regular season. The little injury there set him back a little bit, but this is why you pay him the money. Because he pitches in postseason, and he's been a good postseason pitcher. It's a different situation here too for the Nationals hitters. I think we talked about it earlier with the fact that Hendricks not touching anywhere near 90, no matter what the gun out there in Washington said. Lester can bring it a little bit and gives you that fiery kind of an attitude that that Kyle Hendricks doesn't. But this is a big game pitcher.
His last two starts, and I think it's worth mentioning because he's coming off the injury, mm-hmm. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run against the Cardinals, and then 5 innings, 4 hits, no runs, struck out 7, didn't walk anybody against a terrible Cincinnati team. I don't care. I thought he ended up the year exactly how you wanted mm-hmm. him to end up. And listen, this guy, the last time he was on the mound in the playoffs, was coming out of the bullpen in Game 7, and he was nails. So,
This would be... If you're looking for a sure thing on the, John Lester's the guy in the playoffs that you'd want on the, I'm not saying regular season, mm-hmm. I'm saying on the playoff, you would want to see John Lester pretty much in Major League Baseball.
And we look back
just
to last
of the
year.
Track record.
Well, yeah. And then, that was the whole reason that that Joe Maddon went a little crazy, in my opinion, in game 7 last year. Definitely wanted to get him into the game. I wish he would have waited another 2/3 of an inning, to be honest with you. But again, they won, right? A team goes to a ballpark when they know that John Lester is pitching and feel like, you know what?
Yeah.
We have a really good chance to win this game today.
He was their best pitcher last year. He won game 5 at home mm-hmm. in an incredible performance.
Gutty performance.
And then he comes back, in game 7. Two. And the other thing is, listen, if the Cubs are actually going to do what all Cub fans are dreaming they're going to do, which is do the whole back-to-back thing. You're going to need John Lester to be John Lester, mm-hmm. period.
John Lester.
You can't not have it. So, and you're going to need all of them.
Let's
really.
Do this. Let's bring in Kevin Powell. He's at Nationals Park. Of course, the press conference is wrapping up. Kevin, tremendous game, of course, for the Cubs. What did you glean from the post-game press conferences? What did we learn about the Cubs that we didn't know already?
Well, I just think that everybody's in awe of what Kyle Hendricks has done, not only tonight, but, Carm, you mentioned his outing in St. Louis. That was a huge outing. I mean, that wasn't exactly super tight with the Cardinals down the stretch in the division race. But that was a big game for him. And then, you know, last time the Cubs shut out a team in the postseason was in Hendricks' outing last year in the NLCS. So, you know, everybody was sort of just gushing over his performance, including Dusty Baker, Anthony Rizzo, and Joe Maddon both talked about Hendricks. His velocity was up today, guys. I'm not sure if you noticed that. It's been up over this past five or six starts. He credited tonight some of the adrenaline that obviously is pumping through his veins in a moment like this. But he also just said his mechanics are clicking, and his mechanics are pretty much perfect already. So if all that is hitting on the right cylinders, you're going to get a really, really good performance from Kyle Hendricks. But I think it's time everybody starts taking him a little bit more serious. Not that we haven't, but he's certainly been in the shadows of Lester and Arrieta and even John Lackey. But he's 27, guys. It's not like he's 23 or 24 rookie. I mean, he's been here for a few years now, and he just continues to deliver for the Cubs. So obviously Joe Maddon was right going with Hendricks for game one. Takes a little bit of pressure off John Lester tomorrow. And basically a perfect game for the Cubs today. Even defensively, Maddon pointed to it. He's like, before the game, ideally he wanted to finish the game with the defensive layout that he had. And when you take a lead, you know, that gives Maddon the luxury to do something like that. So you can put Martin out in the center. You can shift Zobrist back over and put Hayward in right where he's a gold glover. So everything just about went right for the Cubs tonight.
Would you call it a super enthusiastic locker room, a business as usual locker room?
Business as usual. I can cut you off. You don't even need to give me the third.
That was it. That's all I had.
They are, man. They're totally different. It's just incredible being around them. And Rizzo talked about it, and it sounds a little cliche, but it does. You know, he pointed to, remember game one of the NLDS last year? That was a pitcher's duel. That was Lester and Cueto, and Rizzo joked that he said to Baez in the dugout, he said, "Hey man, we're gonna need another solo homer from you in this one." Yeah. Obviously, to work out that way, they caught a huge break with Rendon there, and Brian and Rizzo were able to do the rest. But you know, it's pretty wild being around them, being the World Series champs, and they enter as underdogs. John Lester talked about it. He said, "Look, there's a bunch of prideful dudes in this clubhouse. So hey, you guys, Kev, can look at us as underdogs, but they don't care."
Let me ask you, was there any hints from Maddon or any of the players about what we might see with the lineup tomorrow? I mean, with John Lester on the mound, a different defensive scheme?
Well, I think he didn't give any hints, but I think we could all sort of guess with Gio on the mound, Schwarber's probably not going to start tomorrow. I'm guessing you'll probably see Zobrist in left, Hayward in right to start. I'm really interested to see what he's going to do in center, because he loves Jay right now, and Jay's been playing some great baseball for them over the past couple of months. He'll play the matchups. Maybe Almora in center, we'll see to start, but I don't think we'll see Schwarber in the starting lineup today. I don't know if you guys think
that we went over to everyone. I say he should stay in. These guys are the professionals. They say he won't be there. But let me ask you as we wrap up here. The one thing about, we haven't talked about it all tonight, the Nationals, you know, the Nationals fans, there were a lot of fans. There were a lot of Cubs fans, too. You heard in the clip when Contreras caught the last out, there was cheering from the fans. What was the atmosphere there? I mean, the Nationals kind of have an up and down feel when it comes to their fans. I've heard, you know, earlier in the year, they didn't even sell out when the Cubs came to town. How did they react to the loss tonight in Washington?
You know, it was a pretty electric atmosphere just before first pitch. It really was. Some of them were filing out. I've heard some weird stories. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but like the public transit around here, around
just
the
park,
it's just down like at 11. Yeah. So a lot of people are like, okay, well, I'm out of luck if I wait this thing out. So, okay, I'll give them a little credit there. I don't think that would deter Chicago fans back home. Cub fans are waiting things out no matter what. But no, it was a good crowd for the Nats. It never ceases to amaze me how well Cubs fans travel. When I was in the airport, that was today, I guess. That was early today. Sorry, I'm losing track of what day it is of the week. Earlier today, I'm at, you know, and there's Cub fans everywhere. There's Cub fans on my flight out here, 6 a.m. flights, everybody getting out here. I've seen them around my hotel as well. So they travel in bunches for sure. It's nothing new. Cub fans doing what Cub fans do.
All right, Kev. Well, we look forward to getting your reports tomorrow as for game two. But tonight, good work as the Cubs win game one. Kevin Powell at Nationals Park. Thanks for joining us, bud.
All right, boys. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, we'll take a quick break here, and we come back. Preps Plus Chicago takes over. It's True Blue here on 720 WGN.